13-year-old Adam has made a lot of mistakes in his life, but this has to be the biggest. Thanks to a massive fight with his little brother Callum, the mysterious and magical computer algorithm Popularis Incrementum has exploded and accidentally transported them to a completely different dimension. One where they were never born and the internet doesn't exist, and neither does any of the technology they know and love. Will the brothers survive in this strange alterverse where everything is the same but different? Can they stop an evil villain from sabotaging their dad's world-changing technology when in this universe, their dad doesn't even know who they are? And most importantly of all, will they ever find a way back home? Adam Destroys the Internet is out now in paperback, available from your local Waterstones or online at Waterstones.
Hey, I'm Bex, and this is Fun Kids Meets, the podcast where we meet your heroes. Earlier this week, I got to catch up with David Walliams. Yes, actual David Walliams. He's got a brand new book out called Space Boy, and it is brilliant. Spoiler alert, it features a boy and some space. Here's what happens when we caught up.
Hey, David Walliams, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you.
That's what I wanted to hear. Excellent stuff. Now, I am also doing wonderfully because I have read your book and I loved it. I loved every second of it. You've brought me a historical fiction book, basically.
I mean, people often ask, oh, you know, is it very, very historically accurate? And the answer is no. The events of this book, you know, are made up, but the background to it is true. There was a space race going on between America and Russia, and the height of it was the 1960s because Russia were first to send a man into space, but America were first to put a man on the moon, and so there was this rivalry. I was a kid in the 70s and 80s, but in the 60s, you know, every kid would have known about what's going on. Pretty much every kid would have known what's going on out there in space. So I wanted to write a book about a girl who was obsessed with outer space and wanted to escape from her life and an alien crash landing on her farm. So that was the sort of starting point for the story, and her sort of helping him escape. The grown-ups who, you know, want to hurt him.
Yeah, you bring us lovely Ruth, who's had a bit of a tricky time. She's living with somebody she's not a big fan of, I'll put it politely. And she suddenly has a bit of an adventure. It gets exciting.
Well, I want it to be exciting. I want it to be a real page-turner. You know, I write these books because I want kids to just read them for their own pleasure. The good thing about this is that once the alien has crash-landed on Earth, which happens actually in the first chapter.
Yeah.
The whole thing has got this momentum, you know, because they're trying to escape the whole time from the police, from Secret Service agents, all those kind of people. And there's also a kind of big secret as a part of the book. So it's how long they can keep this secret going for as well.
One of my favourite bits, this isn't a spoiler, is when they're on their bum sliding through a crater. So have you tried any of the activities that Ruth and gang did in the book?
Well, I really want to go into space, but I haven't done that yet. So that would be my sort of dream. I think it could be really exciting. I've always been obsessed with science fiction since I was a kid, and I still love it now. So there's that. Have I tried anything like that? Well, I love sliding down. I've never stood down a crater, but I love going down a icy hill on a bin bag. I love that kind of stuff.
Now, we have also a lovely little dog in your book, Yuri. Was that inspired by one of your dogs, perhaps? Apart from, of course, the missing leg.
I do, yeah. My dogs have both got four legs each. I'm often thinking about things in my life and how I can incorporate them into my books. And so, yeah, the behaviour of Yuri is a little bit, I don't know, he probably does a bit more than a real dog would ever do. But he is hopefully as lovable as my dog, so yeah. I tried to get some of their personality, some of their sort of playful personality in there.
Now, I also mentioned, obviously, I've read the book, and a lot of your books have been turned into films and TV shows. In my head, if I was to cast it, I'm putting you as Dr. Shock.
Well, the villains are the best parts, always. They're the really fun parts, aren't they? You know, like Ralph Fiennes in Harry Potter as Voldemort. You know, I mean, amazing, isn't he? I mean, he's just a great, great actor, really. It's the thing you remember probably more than anything in Harry Potter is that, is him. Because once you've seen him, you're going to have nightmares about him for the rest of your life. So yeah, I'd love to play a villain. I played Bert in Rat Burger, which we adapted for Sky TV, and I love doing that. It was just so much fun. And so, yeah, I would love to do that. I'd love there to be a movie of this. Who knows? It certainly would be a very expensive movie because it's space travel. That's the problem, because people go, well, we'd like to make a movie, one of your books, but we don't want to have to spend $200 million doing it. So maybe one day, maybe one day.
Yeah, I was reading it thinking, oh, he's going to be ambitious if he's putting this on TV, but you never know. Somebody out there.
Yeah, I know. I think it would be very tricky to be on TV because you've got the money. You know, on this kind of budget that you would have on TV, because it's like 1960s America, so that's hard. You're going to get all the cars and houses and clothes and everything right, and then you've got like UFOs and rockets and underground secret bases and helicopters and super planes and all this kind of stuff. So the great thing when you're writing is, because I used to write, when I started, I was just writing for television. And then you'd always be told, well, this is too expensive. You can't have a crowd of 100 people. You can only have two and all this kind of stuff. And it was often a bit frustrating because you'd have these ideas, you know, of a sketch that could happen at Wembley Stadium, you know, with the England football team. And they go, that's not going to happen. You're never going to be able to film that. But luckily, when you're writing a book, that's not a problem. If you want to be in Wembley Stadium with the England football team, you can.
I do believe, though, if anyone can make it happen, David, you probably can. You can make this happen if,
all right, if you well, want. Hopefully, we'll try.
But I also need to ask you a little favour. Every author who comes to Fun Kids answers my quick fire round of questions.
Of course, I would love that.
Good. So first up, books or Kindles?
Books.
Yeah, everyone says it.
I have actually never used a Kindle. I mean, I haven't got a problem with a Kindle, but I just think books, I just love holding a book. And I think in a book for kids with loads of illustrations, you'd be missing out a bit on a Kindle, really.
All right, heroes or villains?
Villains. Villains are really important for the stories, you know, and I think you've got to have good villains. It's often the starting point, really. And the stories are so energized when you have a good villain. You know, suddenly everything's exciting.
All right, film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Well, the good thing about TV adaptations is that they're kind of... they're definitely going to get seen, you know. It's wonderful to be on the BBC or Sky or wherever. It's great. I love it. So I'm really happy there's been TV adaptations. But if Steven Spielberg is listening and he wants to turn it into a film, just this once, I'll let him know. I mean, it would be amazing to see something on a, you know, super, super big budget. But we've done some lovely TV adaptations and people, you know, have been enjoying them for years and years, you know, on BBC iPlayer and all that kind of stuff. And at Christmas, they generally get repeated and it's lovely.
Hey, look, if Stephen's listening, I'll let him know. Don't worry. It's fine. I'll sort it out for you.
Please.
Buzz Aldrin or Buzz Lightyear?
Buzz Lightyear is hard to resist. I mean, it is one of the funniest characters of all time. And the voice that Tim Allen does in the Toy Story movies is incredible. And that catchphrase, I think, is amazing. To infinity and beyond. It's just so funny. I just thought, I wish I'd come up with that. To infinity and beyond. There is no beyond infinity. It's just brilliant. It's really, really funny. It's such a great idea. It's such a brilliant idea that he really thinks he's the character and everything. But I'd love to meet Buzz Aldrin. But it must be tough being the second man in space, on the moon. You know, it would be more fun to be the first, wouldn't it? So, yeah, it was the second.
He's not doing too badly. Also, you've got to feel sorry for the third man in that rocket, Michael Collins, who didn't get to leave to go on the moon. He had to stay inside the ship.
I think he was still orbiting the moon.
Just watching his friends just have a lovely time.
Still better than, you know, we've never been to space, so he still beats us.
All right, Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear, because I got to meet Michael Bond, and he was just lovely. He basically was Paddington Bear. He was this sort of wonderful old gent who with a sort of wicked sense of humour. And I grew up a bit more, I'd say, with Paddington than I did with Winnie the Pooh, which is a beautiful, beautiful, magical book. But I probably prefer the humour in Paddington.
Yeah, that Paddington is my answer as well. Now, finally, the last one is the most important, and this is the one I'll judge you on. Okay, so salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes.
Every time. I have very little interest in. I will not have cheese and onion crisps in the house. I don't know anyone who likes them. And salt and vinegar are amazing. Amazing.
Thank goodness you said that, because had you said cheese and onion, I would have ended the interview. I would have just been done here.
So please, if anyone's listening who makes salt and vinegar crisps, please send me them. Don't send me cheese and onion. Just send me salt and vinegar crisps in huge amounts.
If there's anything I want to get out of this interview, David Williams, it's that you like salt and vinegar. I am correct in saying they're the best crisps.
They are the best crisps, aren't they?
That's the most important thing. Apart from, obviously, your book Space Boy is coming out, the crisp thing is very important to me.
Now I want to eat crisps. It's just turned midday, so I think you can.
Yeah, it's crisp time.
I think you can't really have them for breakfast, but I think by midday you can eat crisps and it's all right. No one's going to judge you.
Hey, look, if you want it hard enough, you can have crisps for breakfast.
I'm going to go and have some crisps now.
Oh my goodness, I had such a good time chatting to David Williams. I could have spoken to him for hours, days, weeks and months. He was so fun and so interesting and I loved it. And of course, Space Boy is a brilliant book as well. Now, if you love this podcast, remember to listen to Fun Kids Bookworms podcast as well, where I chat to all of your favourite authors. There's loads of them that you can check out. Go and find it wherever it is you get your podcasts. See you soon.
13-year-old Adam has made a lot of mistakes in his life, but this has to be the biggest. Thanks to a massive fight with his little brother Callum, the mysterious and magical computer algorithm Popularis Incrementum has exploded and accidentally transported them to a completely different dimension. One where they were never born and the internet doesn't exist, and neither does any of the technology they know and love. Will the brothers survive in this strange alterverse where everything is the same but different? Can they stop an evil villain from sabotaging their dad's world-changing technology when in this universe, their dad doesn't even know who they are? And most importantly of all, will they ever find a way back home? Adam Destroys the Internet is out now in paperback, available from your local Waterstones or online at Waterstones.